Hi, everybody. This is Jerry. Good evening. Hope you're doing well. Got a positive message from Mama Pat about her daughter today. She is doing better. And Mama Pat also seemed like she's in good spirits. She said she might call in later. That would be great. I'm going to try to do a little short show tonight. I do have a few things to share. I see time on the line, and Michelle is in chat, right? And we'll see. And let's see. So let's see. Let me say hi to Tana. See if she can say hi. Then I'll launch.
Hi, I love you. I'm just getting home from work. But I love you all. I love you, Jesus. I'm going to lose you, but I'll call back because I'm going into my parking garage. But I'm glad, Geraldine's, I'm glad to hear Geraldine's doing better. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. I think Mama Pat's doing better too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I would think so. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, I'll call back. So I love you.
Okay.
I'll call back in a few. All right. Love you all.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. And yesterday I talked at length about the way people are reacting to this whole Donald Trump phenomenon, and I'm really not as concerned about how people are reacting in the world to it, but I was kind of troubled by the way so many Christian authors, writers, organizations were reacting to his prominence in the election process right now. And I pulled it together the best way I could yesterday. Yesterday evening, I found another article. This is from Charisma Magazine, and apparently they have a section or something called, it's from charismamag.com, called Spirit Led Woman, or maybe it's a column. There's a woman who wrote something that was posted yesterday, and the name of the author is Lisa Great, G-R-E-A-T. I want to read some sections of this because she really captured the essence of where I was going here a little bit, and I just thought it would be interesting to hear slightly another party's perspective. The title of the article is "Presidential Elections Demonstrate Disturbing Trend in the Church." The funny thing about characters is that it is an inside job, but it is evident on the outside when something does not go someone's way. We call it the fires of adversity, which brings the dross to the surface. Fire not only reveals the impurities in a person's life, but also reveals that which has been hidden. In a very public world with social media, people no longer just have opinions over coffee. They feel the need to go public with their thoughts. Jesus never had a problem with people's opinions. Peter rebuked him in public. The sons of Zebedee called fire down from heaven, and Thomas said, "If I don't see, I won't believe." So going public is not the issue in what she's saying from Jesus' perspective. The issue is what you're revealing about yourself by going public. One of the many things God is doing right now is exposing people for who they really are. There are many things being exposed right now in a very public way, and I think many more things will be exposed, but this is not a license to start throwing stones. When the disciples were publicly discussing who was the greatest among them, Jesus did not say, "How dare you want to be great," but tweaked their understanding of what greatness is by bringing a little child near and saying, "If you want to be great, be like a child." I'm thankful the church is speaking out. I'm glad people have a platform to share their ideas, thoughts, and opinions about a variety of subjects. Religion and political correctness seeks to silence people. I'll repeat that line. Religion and political correctness seeks to silence people. Remember, religion often comes, this is my, I'm interjecting here. Religion often comes from people who hold themselves or are held in a position of authority. Then she continues, but Jesus liberates them, and the first sign of freedom is getting your voice back. So speak, share, disagree, and promote. But in doing these things, don't forget Luke 6, verse 45, that says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. This election process for the President of the United States has brought out some things that will give me grave concern for us as a church. One, there is much evidence to the fact that we as Christians believe in selective righteousness. When we can assault someone with our words because of how many times they have been married, but have the same level of divorce in the church, this is stone throwing. When we can measure a candidate by their morality, when we have rampant sex before marriage among believers, this is selective righteousness. When we think their attitude and views on people is crass, rude, and dishonoring, but we slam them with our words, this is selective righteousness. Many Christians are against someone more than they are for someone, and it is evidenced in our Facebook posts, blogs, radio interviews, conversations, and sermons, and editorial content of Christian publications, I'm adding in there. People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone. Jesus, John 8:7. Humility is not passivity. Rather, it is the ability to be teachable. When we measure our level of righteousness, purity, or holiness against someone else, we're using false weights. The only person we are to compare ourselves to in these areas is Jesus himself, and he was without sin, so we all fall short. What I see happening is Christians wanting to take a place above others in order to look down on them. This is called self-righteousness and was the very thing Jesus dealt with when he walked in the earth. It's also something that every high school student deals with. Self-righteousness, putting other people down to be elevated above them. If Christians are not careful, we are going to miss the next move of God. Let me repeat that. If Christians are not careful, we are going to miss the next move of God because Jesus never came the way religious people thought he would come. They wanted a conquering king, and he came as a humble servant. He came to lift people up, and the religious leaders wanted him to tear people down. As Christians, we have enough of our own issues to deal with, both internally. By the way, they tried to tear him down. With both internally and externally. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. But by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you have love for one another. The litmus test for discipleship is love, and 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 gives you practical evidence of a lover. Love is fierce, but it is not mean. God so loved the world, etc. Unbelievers are not going to become believers because we throw another stone at them, nor are believers who are acting like unbelievers going to return if we continue to throw stones. Love is the answer. And she concludes and elaborates on that thought. But what she's talking about here, obviously, is the political process that's being engaged in right now. And you can see that her thoughts are not too far off from mine. Rush to judgment is what I'm sensing here, and everyone's circling around wagons around an established political system, which has failed. And is destined to fail at this point, continue to fail. And so regardless of what happens on a given day or a given primary, and I'm not saying, it really doesn't matter to me how this comes out. I believe God, it's going to come out how God wants it to come out. It's going to come out as a deeper judgment for this nation, if that's what he pleases. If he pleases to send a message. Like I said yesterday, I don't think there's going to actually be another presidential election. But either way, this is another person who, on the same day, was expressing the same thoughts. So I thought I would share that. Moving on. Yesterday I mentioned Psalm 22, and I found a little. I ran across this. I was led to it because. How specific should I be? I was led to Psalm 22 the other day because of a Jewish rabbi's reference to Psalm 22. And many of you will recognize that it's totally about Jesus and his not only his experience on the cross, but also about the end times. But it's interesting to read at least part of this because what caught my ear was this Jewish rabbi's reference of Psalm 22 as it relates. The rabbis teach that this is somehow about Esther. And we are in the time of Purim. Now, So I want to reference a few sections of this, which I'll do without too much time, but I think it's just good food for thought. It also shows a fairly erroneous perspective of the rabbis that somehow this is about Esther. But we are in the season of Esther and quite possibly in the season of the redemption of the Messiah, or by the Messiah of us. And Psalm 22, it's entitled for the choir director according to, quote, the Deer of the Dawn. Now, the Deer of the Dawn reminds me of the Song of Solomon and the leaping stags and all that. Anyway, it starts out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from my deliverance and from my words groaning? So when Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was fulfilling the prophecy of David in this psalm. And we can understand it in one manner. But here, David continues to write, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer by night, yet I have no rest. But you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you rescued them. They cried to you and were set free. They trusted you and were not disgraced. This is a reference to the Exodus. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by people. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer, they shake their heads. Quote, he relies on the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let the Lord deliver him, since he takes pleasure in him. Remember how Jesus was mocked about on the cross, you know, save yourself now, you know, calling the angels and all that by Satan. But also on the cross, he was, you know, oh, save yourself now, Messiah. So you took me from the womb, making me secure while at my mother's breast. When I was given over to you at birth, you have been my God from my mother's womb. So he's going straight back to his personal life. And then, but then it goes, my strength is dried up like baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You put me into the dust of the earth, and into the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. There's Mama Pat. Mama Pat, we're reading Psalm 22, or parts of it. For dogs have surrounded me. A gang of evildoers has closed in on me. They pierced my hands and my feet. We clearly recognize that reference. I can count all my bones. People look and stare at me. They divided my garments among themselves, and they cast lots for my clothing. But you, Lord, Jehovah, in the original, don't be far away. My strength, come quick to me. Deliver my life from the sword, my only life from the power of these dogs. And so, and then he says, save me from the lion. You've rescued you have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will proclaim your name to my brothers. I will praise you in the congregation. You who fear Jehovah, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. All you descendants of Israel, revere him. For he has not despised or detested the torment of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from him, but listened to him when he cried him for help. I will give praise in the great congregation because of you, and will fulfill my vows before those who fear you. The humble will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. I'll just finish reading it out. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations will bow down before you, for kingship belongs to the Lord. He rules over the nations. He rules. He rules. That is present tense. This is by the time we're at the end of this psalm, which starts out by the phrase Jesus uttered on the cross, now it's finishing up in the present tense saying that he rules over the nations. This is now at the point of the end times. So all who prosper on earth will eat and bow down. All those who go down into the dust will kneel before him, even the one who cannot preserve his life. In other words, even those who are condemned will kneel down before him. Their descendants will serve him. The next generation will be told about the Lord, which is what the first generation out of Egypt failed to do. the first generation of Egypt were told by Moses, teach your children. And they failed to teach their children and continued to follow idolatrous ways. God directly told them and taught them about their ways, about adhering to him. And that generation, that subsequent generation, also failed. Here, the establishment of the millennial kingdom, under the preservation of his reign, it says their descendants will serve him. The next generation will be told about the Lord. They will come and tell a people yet to be born about his righteousness and what he has done. So that came up just because I heard a Jewish rabbi mention Psalm 22 and relate it to Esther, not Jesus, of course, in their eyes. But you can see that this is quite clearly about Jesus, and it's very difficult to understand how you can get Esther out of this. I mean, you really have to, quite frankly, you have to not read the psalm and just read what some other rabbi wrote about it, because this is obviously a guy, and there's all kinds of things going on here that clearly do not apply to Esther. But we're in the time of Purim this month and Esther, so I thought it was worth pointing out. There's Tana. Tana, you're open again, and then I'll say hi to Mama Pat.
Hi, guys.
Oh, Jesus. Hi, Mama Pat. Love you.
Hi, sweetie. Yeah, Gerald's in the hospital still. She has pneumonia, but she's doing better. But this is the third time she's gotten it, so as soon as she gets better, I guess she'll go back to the rehab and start walking. We have no word on my son-in-law, Stephen. He has Lyme disease, but we're waiting to, we'll have to wait and see what's wrong with him now. He'll know on the 14th or so, 15th, so. Oh, onward it goes. But God has it. God has it. Somebody I know had a vision. He was praying for me, and he wrote me today, and he said that God the Father appeared to him, and he was in robes of justice. But it wasn't justice. It was the message to him was, I have this. I'm taking care of her, Gerald. My decision stands. Like, that's it. I've got it. So that gave me a lot of peace.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, wasn't that good?
So
I was very happy for that. Yeah. Jerry, I sent you an email. It's long, and it's from that from Sherry, and just have a look see.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you
it's,
you know, if you can share without, you know, you can share what you want from it, because it has a lot of stuff in there from the Holy Spirit, apparently. So I just wanted to say that if you find something to share with that without names and stuff, just please do so.
Yeah,
with the rest
of us. I'm scanning it as you speak, and I can see that this is. I know exactly what you mean.
Awesome.
I can see why it interests you, and I can also see, even for us, it's off the beaten path. So I get that.
It really is.
I'll spend some time with it, and it'd be very interesting.
Yes.
Very interesting. Okay.
Yes, a lot. Okay, guys, I love you. I don't have any much to share. That's just the update.
Okay.
I'm very much at peace.
You take a deep breath and you relax, and you know everything is stable right now.
No, he's got it. He's got it. They're looking at me and they're saying, "Why are you so strong? Why aren't you freaking out? Why isn't all this stuff that's happening? Why isn't it bothering you?" I said, "Because God knows that He knows." That he knows, and I know he knows, so why am I freaking out? And he's got it. I said, I just have to go every day with the flow, and he's got it. Getting crazy is not honoring him or helping the situation or my blood pressure. So
just turn
the fact
and tell
that
them
he
that,
knows.
Hey, just turn and tell them that, hey, all you people are just as difficult as the ones who's sick right now.
Well, I had a talk with Gerald, and I said I don't want to be police mom when you come home. And she says, I'm really going to do it this time. You don't have to tell me. I'm going to be good. And I said, okay, because if you're not, you know, you don't want to send me on the warpath again, you know. So she, right. She understands. I said, there's too much. There's no discipline here. I mean, not that there isn't discipline, but it's so easy to cheat, okay, when you're not in an environment that, you know, keeps tabs. I mean, I keep tabs, but I can't do everything. I can't.
No, she wants to cheat, she's very free to do it.
Yeah.
I don't think you should take any responsibility on for it. I mean,
I can't
personally.
Anymore. This is too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. Too much, and she knows that. And I said, I'm not yelling at you. I was very firm with her. She says, don't yell. I said, I'm not yelling. I'm your mother. Nobody else is going to tell you this stuff, but I'm your mother, and I tell you this stuff. It's my obligation to tell you this stuff because nobody else is, okay? You can't come home and screw up because and be going to the hospital every 2 and 3 weeks. You can't do that.
No.
You can't do that. And think of the people who love you. Do it for them. All right, you know. Really? Oh, my goodness. This girl's smart. She knows which end is up, as I've said before. So I can talk to her like that. And she gets it. She gets it.
Well,
there's five or six things that are wrong with her.
I would say to her, we'll see how smart you are by how you handle this.
Yes,
that will tell
because you can't keep going in the hospital every 2 and 3 weeks. That's gonna wear thin and grow stale. Okay? Yeah.
Yeah,
they're not going to take it.
That's right.
Where she is, she's beautiful place, lovely people. Man, these you should see how they decorate these places, these rehabs, these nursing. Oh, my gosh, it's like a choice hotel. I'm glad I don't see the bill. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Me too.
Wow.
Me too.
Oh, beautiful places, beautiful and lovely residential area. Oh, my gosh. Oh, just keep the paperwork away, honey.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
There you go.
But anyway, so that's where we're at.
So,
and, carry on.
Okay. Well, I'm glad it's headed in a better direction.
I hope so.
Well, you know what? Yeah. If nothing, whatever is going on, I think Gerald's got a little more, you know, focus, and I think, you know, the evidence is now there for everybody involved on the medical side here and the insurance side.
Absolutely.
Of what the conditions are, and you know, look, they have to decide, they've got to figure out how she's going to be stabilized in a longer-term situation. And I don't personally believe that it's only her responsibility. I mean, let's face it, if she couldn't even be in rehab for a week before going back to the hospital, then she went to rehab too soon. Okay?
Yeah.
She should have still been in the hospital. So people need to, you know,
I
hear
you.
Preach, but I'm just
this
telling
is an
you,
ongoing thing. No, you're right. It's an ongoing thing. They sent her home too soon, and then they sent her from the rehab because she was running 103 fever, and they called
That's
me
right.
up like 12 o'clock at night. I mean, what the hey, you know? And they say, we're sending her to the hospital because she's running a fever and we don't know why, and her vitals are just kind of not good. And it's like, why don't you just tell me she's going to die? I mean, that's what you're really trying to tell me. That's what they were trying to tell me. They're very sweet and nice.
Yeah.
So there I am over at the hospital tomorrow, wrong hospital because there's no room. They had to take her to another one, and I had nowhere to go because my grandson had to get up very early in the morning to take tests for firemen and whatever else. So he had all day, and he couldn't take me tonight, and my other daughter's sick as a dog. So I can't get over till hopefully tomorrow if I get a ride, you know. So, you know, because I have to go in a wheelchair. So it's a mess. It's a mess, you know. But we'll work it out. We'll work it out. We'll work it out. Yeah. Everyone's learning lessons here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I was poking around doing actually a little bit of garage work over the last few days, and I've had some windows open on my browser that are, you know, links to thoughts and things that I want to kind of mention, and they've been open long enough, and I'd had enough cross in front of me subsequently that I couldn't remember why I had it open.
Wow.
And it took me a couple hours this afternoon to actually pull it back together and remember how it all started. So I'm going to tell you kind of what I found. I find this interesting. I think it's too bad Faith isn't in chat tonight because this relates to something she said recently. Maybe I can send her an email about this. But let me start out with where I started out that got in this process. I was looking at the calendar, as I do sometimes, and one of the things that I do when I'm kind of looking for clues, prophetic clues in Scripture, is I will look at what's recorded in Scripture. And a lot of times, especially the prophets, record specific days of specific months that they receive messages from the Lord, or there's actually an event that's occurred on a particular day of a particular month. So this is the 12th month that we're in, and there's two 12th months, if you will, even though there's 13 total. They both have the same name, so they both count as the 12th month. And right now we are, what is the date today? It's 4th or the 5th? It's the 5th. Saturday the 5th, it's the 25th day of the 12th month. Because they didn't record when it was the leap month, if you will, the 13th month. Now, the 25th and or the 27th day of the 12th month are the days that the exiled king into Babylon, a Jewish king, king of Judah, Jehoiakim, was released from prison in the first year of the new Babylonian king. In one place, see if I can recall this, in Kings, it's mentioned, let's see if I've got this up here. This is a long way to get there anyway. I'll close out with that. Anyway, in Kings, it's mentioned on the 25th day of the month. In Jeremiah, it's mentioned on the 27th day or vice versa, one of the two. There's no obvious explanation for why one records the event on one day and another records it 2 days later. But so I'm looking around and looking at a list of events that are recorded on specific days of the month. Now, on this point, there's Ezekiel gets a prophecy on the first day of the 12th month, which, since we're already past that in this added month, the standard month is actually the one that's coming up, and that begins the first day of the 12th month will be the 11th of March. This it's interesting because this is when Ezekiel gets an interesting prophecy, and then it is followed up by another word of the Lord on the 15th of the month, which is exactly 2 weeks later and happens to be Shushan Purim. It is the second day of Purim, which was observed in the Shushan Palace, which is to say that basically the municipality of Shushan at the time of Esther. So those are 2 days that were highlighted in this list. Those are also kind of relate to date sets from my point of view, and so those are some things that are going on. Another thing, the other day that is mentioned several times, is the 13th day of the 12th month, and this is also in the book of Esther. And this is the day that Haman drew a lot for, as in the days of Lot, that Haman drew a lot and determined that in the 12 months from the time that the lot was drawn, which was in Nisan, the first month, that he would conspire with all of his allies and family members to kill the Jews with a decree that he was able to get Ahasuerus or Xerxes to sign, which would allow this. Now, we know that this day, by the way, becomes the fast of Esther. It's called Ta'anit Esther. It's the fast of Esther. It's the beginning of Purim, if you will. And this year, that's the 23rd of March. Now, the two date sets that we've had in March for a few months are the 16th and the 23rd. they fit into our other patterns, and so on. And also, on the 9th of March is a total solar eclipse, and then 7 days later is the 16th. And Carol was also interested in sort of in the Ides of March, with a Caesar Brutus kind of reference. As then, on the 23rd of March, which is 2 weeks after the eclipse and 1 week after the 16th, is the 13th of Adar, the fast of Esther, which begins Purim that evening. So these are days that we're looking at, but I'm bringing it up right now because when you go to this verse, which I don't know why I'm not seeing. Oh, here we go. One of the verses that comes up is in Esther chapter 9. And I found something that's kind of interesting, and it's both Bible nerdy and garage nerdy, so hopefully we'll get something out of this. I think I only scheduled 60 minutes of live time, so that's about 7 minutes from now. I'm going to try to get through this as quickly as I can. But let me just read the first few verses of Esther chapter 9. On the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, the edict commanded by the king was to be carried out. This is the one that Haman wanted. On this day, the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, but now the tables were turned and the Jews got the upper hand over those who hated them. So this is when the tables are turned. The Jews assembled in their cities in all the provinces of King Xerxes to attack those determined to destroy them. No one could stand against them because the people of all the other nationalities were afraid of them. And all of the nobles of the provinces, the state satraps, and the governors and the king's administrators helped the Jews because fear of Mordecai had seized them. Now, Mordecai is the actual word I want you to keep in mind right now. They're saying the Jews, because of the fear of Mordecai, had seized them. Mordecai was, of course, the uncle of Esther or Hadassah, and we most likely, you all know the story about, you know, like one night king and so on and so forth. But Mordecai had become prominent in the court. He was appointed the head of everything under King Ahasuerus, and he was responsible for getting this law passed that allowed the Jews to defend themselves. Because it had the favor of the king, everyone was afraid of Mordecai, and so everyone had chosen to help the Jews rather than Haman. So Esther 9:4, Mordecai was prominent in the palace. His reputation spread throughout the provinces and became more and more powerful. And so the very next verse, the Jews struck down all of their enemies with the sword, killing and destroying them, and they did what they pleased to those who hated them. In the citadel of Susa, which is Shushan, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. They also killed all the sons of Haman and so on and so forth. So you know the story. Well, let's go back to Mordecai. Remember, I got to this because I was looking at a garage set calendar day on the 13th day of the 12th month. This is a date set for us, and this is the day that the tables were turned on Haman, the enemy of God's people. And the name of the man who was responsible for doing this after Esther's plea was Mordecai, her uncle. And I thought, well, one of the things I often do is go look at the meanings of proper names. And so I went ahead and pulled this up. And sometimes I've done it before, and I recall this time I had not. And I looked up Mordecai. It's H4782. And Mordecai has two different definitions. One is worshiper of Mars, like, but another one, and the first one is little man. Little man? I thought, well, that rings a bell. Little man, Mordecai, little man. And then I remembered Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was the man, the little man, who climbed up a tree. It turned out to be a sycamore fig tree, and this is a type of fig tree called a sycamore. not a sycamore tree like we say in the United States, but it was a sycamore fig tree, so that he might be able to see Jesus, because he was described as being a little man, a short man. But what does his name mean? And everyone was unhappy with Jesus, because this is a summation of what happened. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And Zacchaeus climbed up in this tree so that he could see Jesus when Jesus came by. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up into the branches and addressed Zacchaeus by name. Jesus knew his name and called him out. His name means pure. Zacchaeus means pure or innocent. And told him to come down, for he intended to visit his house. The crowd was shocked that Jesus, a Jew, would sully himself by being a guest of a tax collector who, by definition, did business with the Romans. So he was essentially, in their minds, unclean. So now let's go back to where I started, and that is, if I can find it, and that is that Mordecai means little man. So scripturally, we have a connection between Mordecai, who turned the tables on Haman on the 13th day of the 12th month, and Zacchaeus, whose name is pure and whose name was called out by Jesus, who visited him in his house. So here's a connection in the scriptures between Jesus and the turning of tables, the visiting in his house and the turning of the tables on Haman, who would kill the Jews, the people of God. So I believe that this is a very interesting clue that draws us, in this case, this year, to the 23rd of March. I'm expecting that we're going to see something before then, personally, but the world might see something about then.
Yeah, you know why? Because we're proofing tonight, because happy anniversary, RCC, of the Miracle Show for Julian Calendar today.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Cool. Julian Calendar anniversary. Okay. Cool.
So, Julian, yeah. So, yeah.
So, yeah. Well, this is a huge month. I just got an email from Jason today, and this is kind of cool. Actually, this is another reason. The reason, there's one more thing. Faith about Zacchaeus, he climbed up in the sycamore fig tree. And Faith had mentioned in chat recently, and I think it's not the first time, that there's something about the sycamore tree that she'd been led to and was pondering. And I really want her to be able to check in to this little factoid. And anyway, another thing that mentions Faith is Faith had made a comment. We'd shared a comment once or twice about Marianne's dream about the president and the green jacket and so on. So this is Jason's email to me today. Just wanted to send you a quick note about something you said on last night's show. As I type this, it's 1:53 a.m. You mentioned Faith and the four, F-O-R-E. I put that in as a note on the scheduling page of the show. F-O-R-E, four, like, you know, coming, playing through, I mentioned last night. Faith said four on the October 3rd show last year, she did. The reason I remember is because that was the last time you, Faith, Marianne, and I were all on the show together. There are 153 days from October 3rd. To March 4th. Of course, he's talking about last night's March 4th show. He says, insane. So this is the way Jason's things keep getting fulfilled and the encouragement she keeps receiving, because all these clues stack up for him, but it's amazing he can remember that. I remember the comment and all that. I couldn't have told you what day it was on. Also, we've been looking at the 5-6. I've had several dreams with a friend of mine named Andrew. I have not communicated with him in 10 years, so why am I seeing him? Well, I remember his birthday is in March, March 6th, I think. Out of the blue, my mom mentioned all these birthdays this month are on her side of the family, and she lists And the first one he lists is on the 11th of March. Another's the 12th, another's the 4th. Jason's is the 14th. And he goes on. So a few days ago, I watched a vid where this individual mentioned a dream in connection with her son's birthday, which is March 18th. Keep in mind, I don't watch very many YouTube vids. Right after I watched the vid, Marianne texts me and says that Annalisa, her daughter, is coming back from Jordan on the 18th. Just insane. So that's a week after the 11th. Okay, we've already been led to the 16th as well as Purim. In addition to the solar eclipse on the 8th, Marianne received a word last year about Maundy Thursday being a clue, which is the 24th. I'm not really looking for dates at this point or to crunch numbers. He says, like you, I'm very much day-to-day and emotionally spent, but I've never seen so many dates in 1 month. Somewhere in here, he says, bottom line, I guess I having a date set of the 11th of March. He goes on, something else in connection with my cousin's surgery, which you mentioned earlier. I mentioned there are a lot of twos associated with it, 2 discs, 2 hours, 2 nights, 2 weeks. There are 222 days from when God gave you the word, look for me in the sky, to March 11th. God gave you the word on August 3rd. Nate's birthday, inclusive day count, is 222 days. Crazy. That's the August 3rd show again. That is the August 3rd show, not the October 3rd show. But anyway, I'll add to that. For some reason this week, I don't spend a lot of time looking at license plates, but this week I have seen, in very short car trips, okay, very short trips, I have seen 222, I mean, directly in front of me now, 222, 111, and today 555.
Wow.
So all this past week, and the thing is, it's interesting that Jason sends you this email today and all this is in there. So that was his take. And so what I'm saying is I think there's something in this about Zacchaeus being the little man and Mordecai, whose name means little man, and the reversal of fortunes with Haman. This is pretty strong. People's names in Scripture mean things, and these kinds of connections. And because Jesus directly addressed Zacchaeus and told him to get out of the tree, we can come back to this if anybody has comments on it. But this is another strong clue to the 23rd of March. And one that I never imagined would be there. But this is actual scriptural truth. This is not just garage work. There's definitely an intentional connection biblically and through Jesus' own words. And remember, Zacchaeus means pure. So he's addressing pure. Well, pure is a condition of the bride. So in a way, he's addressing the bride to come out of the tree. He wants to go dine with pure, okay? And the man whose name means pure was the little man. And in the Old Testament, at Esther, who was the bride, Mordecai means little man. And it was his work that caused the tables to be turned, and instead of being victimized by Haman, Haman's devices were turned on him, and the little man and his people were vindicated and became the ones in power. So this is a really powerful message. It is not an accident of Scripture that these things are connected. Little man, pure, reversal of fortunes, and I hope that this seems to be a very strong connection to me. That this time is quite, quite important for the turning of the tables on. Now, of course, this could happen any year, by the biblical form. But this is a really strong clue to the timing of certain things happening and the table, the fortunes reversing of those who practice evil. So that's what I have. Mama Pat or Tana, anything else that you wanted to add tonight?
No, I was just looking at the Prince of Peace picture. I mean, it's like, go take a chill pill, what I'm going to say. But I just realized the initials Prince of Peace spell pop.
That's cute.
Pop.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cute.
Yeah.
Just came to me. I mean, sometimes, you know, it's a little weird. I have the YouTube picture and I was drawing it on a piece of paper. It's not too bad, but I'm not an artist. I tried.
Yeah.
Well, I'm listening to you guys. It's okay.
Right.
Definitely take lessons. No, I have nothing. Just keep Gerald in prayer, please, and thanks for the prayers.
Yeah.
In God's hands,
well,
period. That's it.
Honestly, Pat, I reminded in that email last night of the word that I had got a few weeks ago about Gerald.
Yes, he said he's going to take care of it. It goes in the same thing.
Said, yep, and when I read that over or retyped it last night, I had a huge surge of the Holy Spirit, no doubt.
Yeah.
So,
it was. Same thing.
He's really in this. Whatever he does,
whatever he's doing.
Very powerful.
He's got every. I think I'm. You know what my gut feeling is? I think he's doing a purification on Laura and Geraldine especially, and getting them ready for the rapture.
Yeah.
Making them
that's
think.
That's right.
Because I'm always telling people here, they don't listen. Yeah,
it blew me away when you mentioned that Gerald's birthday was the 19th. Is it the 19th?
Yes.
17th. 19th of this month. So with all the other day sets, and that's right in the middle of all this other stuff, and it just made me think that this crisis that she's having is timed right in time with everything else that we've been led to look for this month.
Mm-hmm. And Laura too, she's going through hell, you know, with her leg, and she's got to get X-rays, and both my girls believe, you know, they you know, there's no problem with that, but it's like a fine tuning or something, you know. I don't know what to call it. I'm monkey in the middle here.
Well,
I ain't gonna catch the ball,
you know,
but that's okay.
You're not in the middle.
Huh?
You just need
you know what I mean. I mean, I'm going back and forth with all the stress and trusting God for everything, but we're still human. My goodness.
That's true. Absolutely. That's right.
Yeah, but I trust.
Well,
I know
fine.
He's got it.
It's
he spoke through you, and he spoke through this other person, and he's speaking through other people, too. I've got so many prayer people, you know, but you guys are the are the closest to me, you know. You're the family.
I know.
So your prayers are super powerful, all of you guys. I mean, I appreciate it so much, you know. Yeah, I'm very blessed to have so many good people praying. That's what
really
I mean, all of you guys. I mean,
days,
really.
She absolutely. She stopped what she was doing, so she could, you know, definitely.
Yeah.
Engage on this issue too. So.
Sure. But he's got it, and I just have to be calm and watch him go through it. I mean, I thought she was dying last night. I really did. I thought I was going to be planning a funeral because she was so gone, guys. And today she's like, "Oh, bring me a bottle of Diet Coke," and I'm like, "Well, she's doing good then." Because she's on liquid restraint and she hates it. She's got all these people,
Oh yeah, because
controlling everything.
Yeah.
And she was like really, really, really like. And I said very calmly, I said, yes, you can have that, but you have to give it to the nurse so that they can give it to you. And she said, nurse, can I have the Coke? And she said, yes, you can have the Diet Coke, but, we're going to have to restart. Well, all right, then. Oh, I mean, just starting all over again, you know, with the mouth. So I said, she's doing better.
You know,
Oh, dear God.
I think some of our loved ones, their rough spots are coming to the surface. And that's exactly, that's exactly the purification process. That's what the dross is, the purifying of the silver and the gold. The dross comes to the top so it can be scraped off. And I can tell you in my experience, there's somebody close to me who the Lord is taking through a very similar process. And, you know, and I've seen a lot of dross lately. Okay.
I'm seeing a lot of dross lately too, and hoping I survive it.
I can relate, and God bless us.
It's tough. It's dang tough, but you know,
yeah.
It's tough. It hurts. It hurts.
And from that incident you were just talking about, Mom,
I say.
Well, you're going to need a lot of prayers if she comes back home.
Oh, that too. I mean, you know.
I don't know.
But I go from one extreme to the other, from death to life. I mean, this is like a drama that just doesn't, you know, your emotions get torn terribly because you're from one emotion to the next. Oh, dear God. But I've gone, guys, I've gone through this before. I've gone through this before.
Yep. Just make them prove that she can be healthy with care. Before they send her home.
Lots of care, which is going to fall on me. But, I mean, if she does for herself
what she's supposed to, it'll be okay. It's a rehab place. Make them prove that she can be healthy at the rehab place before they send her home.
Yeah. I know, because she was walking okay. And then, like, we went to the other night, and she was, like, with the fever in bed, and she said she couldn't walk and do things. And I thought we're losing her. I thought everything was shutting down, because that's what they were saying when they called me at 12 at night. Her vitals are going. And I thought, well, that's the end. She's almost died several times before. This is nothing new. Nothing new. And a miracle brought her back. You know.
No matter what age, like, no matter what
Earth 49.
Age is, unfortunately, I've heard of people ruin their drugs at an early age that alcohol
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
age
mm-hmm.
isn't actually what it is, because they're still back in their teen years. They're not.
Yeah.
They're actually, even though they are like going to be 8 or 49.
It's surprising.
They're still back in their teen years. Their mentality, because they ruin their brains, is still.
I don't know. It's just, I've seen this. All my people drank. All my people had problems with this, and I've seen just everybody die. From the drinking. Mostly the drinking has killed them. Yeah.
Yeah, but the brain, like, that's probably why you have an issue, because the brain is teenager.
Right.
The brain development is still teenager brain.
Very immature.
That's right.
Yeah.
It never develops properly under the influence of mind-altering substances, whether it's alcohol or pot or illicit drugs.
That's true. Or prescription drugs.
All of those drugs, I just found an article, ran across an article last week about how they had, it was a very scientific study, and it documented without question that the developmental process of up through, at least through and probably beyond 18 years of age, is permanently altered in the brain by these substances. Permanent.
Well, then they're goners.
So you're raising a teenager, Mama Pat, really. You're not
raising, I guess so. Yeah.
Raising
a
40-something.
Yeah.
You're raising a
teenager,
unfortunately.
Sweet. She's such a sweet person. She's very generous and giving, but she'll just take shortcuts for everything and ruin her health and end up in the hospital every 2 and 3 weeks. So this has got to stop. But it doesn't matter. It seems what a preach I give to her or tell her or warn her.
Nope.
You know,
well,
she's
right,
home for a week and she's right back to being stupid.
And she's still
again.
A teenager. Her brain is still a teenager.
My God.
Yeah, it's tearing me to pieces. Exactly right. That, you know, because I just had a thing like that with my young teen today, my adolescent. And, you know, their brains are on full-on distraction mode. And you can't... You can ask them to do something, and they can agree to do it, and then you go all day long, and they'll never do it, because once they get distracted, it's completely out of their head. Their brain just,
I can do that, but
damage.
I have an excuse. I'm 72.
I know, but you probably...
Comes back home. It's, unfortunately, I don't see it changing.
I don't either.
You know,
I don't either.
When she comes back...
I don't either.
It's just going to be the same old for you. So that's why.
I'm sorry. Lord, unless we get raptured.
Keep her in that home as long as possible. Yes, or we're poofing tonight, so honestly,
sure
it doesn't matter.
I think he's getting my kids ready because who did he say? Someone on this program. He said, don't worry about your kids. I'm going to take care of them, you know, so don't worry. But, boy, he's doing a job. He puts you through hell. Jesus puts you through hell, and you better be ready to go with the flow because you will be put through hell.
That's right.
You will.
Right.
I know. I'm living, walking proof of that. And afterwards, I catch your breath, and I say, dear God, what was that all about, you know? But you got to go through it.
Dear God,
it's hard. It's hard.
Our relatives didn't know it, but they stepped on to the fast lane. They stepped into the fast lane when we did.
Yeah.
And Jesus is allowing them to be caught up.
Yeah.
And you know, they're
it ain't pretty.
You know, it's not pretty now.
No.
But it'll be a lot.
Oh yeah, in time.
Yeah.
No, they'll understand why they had to go through the hell they had to go through in order to straighten out and fly right. Yeah, fly up.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, you know, that's right.
I want all my kids to go and my grandkids. I mean, the grandkids, forget it. You know,
well,
but he's going to have to work a miracle on them, too, because they honest to Pete. I talk about the rapture here. I practically every day, and they just are like, yeah, you're in la-la land, you know, continue your fantasy, you know, your fairy tale. No, seriously.
God wants him with us, and he has a little thing that he can use. If all else fails, he has a little thing called fear of God. And he has a way of pulling that card when it needs to be pulled. So, anyway.
Yeah, the other thing, just real quick, do look at Tom Lipshaw. There's four asteroids coming. So
yeah,
just say a prayer that the angels just blow them away.
Yeah. Well,
honestly.
There's stuff coming. It's going to be very interesting. I think we're going to see some things before the end of the month, and that's
Definitely.
So, whatever.
Yeah, whatever,
well,
whatever. Okay, that's it.
I need to go do a couple things, but...
sure, go ahead.
I'm glad things are better with Gerald, and we'll stay in touch.
Wow, so far.
It's
touch and go every day.
One day at a time, that's it.
But, you know, there's so many people praying for her that I am convinced God has it.
Oh,
he's probably so sick of it
totally.
Right now, like, shut up, people, I got it.
Yeah.
love it.
That's right,
Father God,
right.
We're not going to say anymore.
Okay, thank you.
Gosh.
I'm going to go ahead and send this out with a song.
Sure.
Love you.
Love you.
See you in the air.
Love y'all.
It's today.
Yes.
Getting from there to here, it's been a long time, but my time is finally here, and I can feel the change in the wind right now. Nothing's in my